This morning, I want to share with you my single greatest desire for you as individuals and for us as a church. I'm not going to be preaching for the next several weeks. I don't remember the last time I went 3 weeks without preaching. I'm really not going to like that. But I am going under the knife, as they say, this Wednesday. And then Denise and I, Lord willing, are going to take some time away to celebrate our anniversary. And so I'm going to be gone for a few weeks. And I did start thinking about, what would I preach if this were my last sermon? I don't think it is, and I hope it isn't. But I did start thinking in those terms. And 1 Peter 4:8, if you have your Bibles, grab them and open there. 1 Peter 4:8 is the first Bible verse I wrote a paper on in seminary. It's the last sermon that I preached when we left Russia. It's one of the first sermons I ever preached here at New Life Bible Church. And every few years I come back to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, for two reasons. One is because it's so good and God has used it in my own life. But number two is because this is an area where I and all of us need to grow. 1 Peter 4:8 is certainly on my list of favorite verses of all time, and I hope that maybe it will be on yours as well. My thoughts brought me here as I thought about what to share with you this morning. Here, Christ says these words, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. As always, I encourage you to follow along. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. This verse is actually about the most important thing that all of us can hold on to. You don't see that right away. You might think that the command here is to love one another. It is not. The command is to have love. Some of your Bibles say, keep fervent in your love for one another, or hold fervently your love for one another. The command word here is hold, hang on to, and never let go. That's what this is about. It's about what we must hold on to and never let go of, no matter what. You know, in our church, we have a lot of what we might call programs or groups, gatherings. If you've been here for a while, you can walk right through them, right? Monday morning, we have table talk group in the morning where we review Sunday's sermon. Tuesday night, we have Tuesday night Bible study. Brother Nate's been leading us through the Gospel of Luke. Wednesday night, in a normal school year, we have Awana Club. Thursday morning, we have the ladies' Bible study and men's reading group, or now a men's group that's been going through the Truth Project. Friday morning is a group at Doc Filson's house. Saturday morning, men's breakfast. Sunday morning, Sunday school and worship time. We have all these various things that we do. And it could happen that we can't continue all of those forever, right? Imagine if we didn't have enough workers for Awana. We could maybe have to let go of Awana. I hope we don't have to, but it could happen. And that would be okay. But one thing we can never let go of as a church family, we can never let go of loving each other. So I really want to strengthen you in what this verse is teaching. I want to strengthen you in this command to keep fervent in your love for one another. And to do that, we're going to walk through a series of questions. Not unusual, right? I don't always ask questions, but that is probably my most favorite way to teach. It's simple. It's memorable. It's easy for you to pass this on to somebody else. I would also encourage you to think about whether or not you might be able to pass along what you learned today to someone else. Maybe your family, maybe someone in your family. But we're just going to walk through some questions in light of this verse. Question number one, and they're all simple questions. Question number one is, how important is this? And specifically, how important is it for us as a church family to hold on fervently to our love for one another? And the answer simply is very. You might store that one away for memory. Very, right? It's very important that we all have fervent love for one another, no matter what happens. Notice verse 8, it begins with, and above all. Above all things. That's an amazing statement. especially when you consider what other commands Peter gives in this letter. As Philip said when he was reading from 1 Peter, this was written to Christians who were scattered throughout the world, who were suffering, in many cases, persecution just because they were living a godly life. And in chapter 1, we find in verse 15 this command, "But just as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct." Well, that's important, isn't it? For us to be holy as God is holy? Yes. But here, Peter compares this command to all the others, and he says, "But above all, have fervent love for one another." It's even more important than the command to be holy. However, it's related. Part of our holiness is our love for one another. That's part of what should set us apart from the world. In chapter 2, we have this, a favorite of mine, this great command. Chapter 2, verse 2, "Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of God's word that you might grow thereby." That's important, right? If you ever wondered what it is God wants you to want from his word, I've said this many times, if I've met with you for discipleship, you know this one by heart. What does God want you to want from his word? Pure milk. So that's an important command, to desire, long for the pure milk of God's word. But even more important than that, even above that, is this command to have fervent love for one another. In chapter 3, and Philip read this command, we didn't share notes before class today or anything. But in chapter 3, we have that great command in verse 15. "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, being always ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you." I mean, that is the key New Testament verse on apologetics, if you didn't know. And it's a command that we set Christ apart as Lord so that we will always be ready to give an answer. As important as that is, even more important is the command of 1 Peter 4:8. "Above all" means above all else that I might tell you to do, the most important instruction I can give you as believers in Christ and as a church family is this one: have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. So how important is this? Very, very important. Paul says in Galatians 5:14, "All the law," that's a massive statement, "all the law of God is fulfilled in one word, even this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." That applies most importantly here in the church. Romans 13:8 says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another," which means I always owe you a debt, and that is to show you love. You always owe me a debt, and you have a debt obligation to pay to everyone around you in this church, and it's never paid off. And that debt is to love the person beside you. How important is this? Very. Second question. I'll bet you can answer it. How serious is this? Ready? Very. Very. I see you're catching on. This church is quick. If you're visiting today, I want to tell you, this church is quick. How serious is this? Very. I say that because, first of all, it is a command, right? It says, above all things, have. Have is the command word, or keep in your New American Standard Bible. Keep or have or hold fervent love for one another. So it's a command that already makes it serious. But interestingly, this term, to have love, to hold love, is the same terminology that Paul uses in that most familiar chapter on love, 1 Corinthians, what chapter? 13. I want you to turn there for a moment. 1 Corinthians 13. Because I want you to think about what happens if we don't have this love. What happens if you as an individual do not have this love that we're talking about? What would happen for us as a church if we didn't have this love? Listen again to these familiar words from 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1, 2, and 3. Paul says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men," it really should be "if." It's hypothetical. He didn't speak with the tongues of men and angels. "Even if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And if I bestowed all my goods to feed the poor, and if I gave my body to be burned but have not love, it profits nothing. Now there's something very important that Paul is teaching here. And here it is. He's teaching that even if you have the greatest spiritual gifts, and even if you have them to the greatest degree imaginable, but you have not love, then you are like a noisy instrument in an idol temple. You are nothing, and you profit nothing. That's profound. That's the same for every one of us, and it's also the same for us as a church. I want you to imagine for a moment, and some of you may have been in churches like this, imagine a big church. I mean a mass, 10,000, 20,000 people, a big church. And in that church, they have the most gifted preachers and teachers anywhere in the world. All the best preachers. Your favorite preacher, your favorite Bible teacher is in that church. And they have the most generous, wealthy people who are giving sacrificially of the money that they make to missions and to ministry. Imagine if they have the greatest children's program, the greatest youth program, the greatest young adults program, the greatest singles program, the greatest seniors program that you can imagine. But imagine if they don't love one another. Worthless, exactly. That's worthless. That profits nothing. Some people, that's what they long for. They long for the programs and all those things that I just described. What Christ longs to see in us is that we hold fervently our love for one another. So how serious is this? It's so serious that if we would ever let go of love for one another, we'd be nothing in the sight of God. Our church would cease to have value. One commentator says this: love is the animating or enlivening spirit without which all of our other duties are dead. Right? Even as Paul says in another place, whatever you do, do it in love. If you do something without love, it's, as one writer put it, it's like dutiful roses. Oh, here, honey, I got you some roses because I know that's what I'm supposed to do. Right? If you've heard that, John Piper uses that phrase of dutiful roses. Beloved, this is so important and it's so serious. We can never let go of loving one another. Third question, and I'll bet you can all get this one. Just shout it out as soon as you have the answer. You ready? How difficult is this? Very. It really is difficult. How difficult is it to always hold fervent in our love for one another throughout the years and throughout all the trials and throughout all the setbacks? It's very difficult. Take a look at the verse, 1 Peter 4:8. We're back there now. And it says, above all things, have fervent love. Ektenes. Ektenes, it's one word, but ek means out. And tenes is the word from which we get tension. It's like tensed out. It was a word used of athletes who would strain every muscle in their body to accomplish what they were doing. Here's a good test. How many of you grew up with ABC's Wide World of Sports? Oh, yeah. I bet some of you could sing the song. Listen, this is going to sound familiar. Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. That's right, very good, and the agony of defeat. At which point, you remember what was said? Yes, the skier is twirling off this building, he's lost it and he's crashing. Jim McKay, I grew up with Wild World of Sports. But how many of you remember, this is only if you were in the 70s, how many of you remember, this guy was on Wide World of Sports probably more than anyone else when I was growing up. Vasily Alexeyev. You don't remember him, right? Vasily Alexeyev. The greatest power lifter in those days. He set 80 world records. I don't know who else has set 80 world records. Vasily Alexeyev. He was a giant. And we would watch ABC's Wide World of Sports on in almost every Saturday. And he was a powerlifter. Now, if you've ever watched a powerlifter, and certainly if you've ever watched Vasily Alexeyev, they put some chalk on their hands like this, and the chalk goes flying. Vasily would always put some across his chest. They go up to the giant bar. They put their hands across it, and what happens next? Every muscle in their body is straining. To get that weight up. If the Greeks were describing what they would see, they would say, that's ektenes. That is fervent. It's very difficult. It stretches every muscle in your body. And you say, well, why would an Olympian, why would a guy like Vasily Alexeyev, why would he strain so hard to lift that weight? Answer number one, because it's heavy. But answer number two, because in his mind and in the minds of his coaches, it's worth it. Why should we hold on to, maintain always fervent, tensing, stretching, difficult love for one another? Because it is difficult. It goes against our nature. It's a heavy weight to try and love others in the church at times. But also because our coach is convinced it's worth it. Christ stretched himself out on the cross to love us. Think that was easy? No. And to love us who have sinned repeatedly against him. Here, Christ is calling us to stretch ourselves out to love one another with the kind of love that overlooks a multitude of transgressions and things less than transgressions. So how difficult is it? Very. Which raises the next question. I mean, if it's that difficult, how realistic is it? That one's harder to say, isn't it? Very. This is very realistic. Christ is not putting us under some kind of burden here that we can't handle. He is calling us all to maintain, keep, hold on to a fervent love for one another no matter what. Why is it very realistic? Because of the Holy Spirit, right? Because of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The first in that list, right? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But first in the list is love. And we know, Romans 5:5, we know that the love of God is shed abroad or poured out through our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So what can we do when loving someone else becomes difficult? We pray, Lord, help me to love. Right? So this is realistic. It's not unrealistic. This is doable. The previous verse, verse 7, says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers, and above all, and I would even say, and above all in your prayers, be praying to have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Fifth question. How wise is this? Very well, good. Some of you are catching on. Some are... No, this is very wise, but it doesn't sound like it at first, because look at that last line. It says, for love will cover a multitude of sins. So I need to make a correction here first. It's not future tense, okay? It's love covers. Some of your Bibles have that. And it's basically a statement about what love does. I asked several people this week, I said, you know where it says love covers a multitude of sins? Give me a different word for covers. I want to give you some words that do not fit, okay? But there have been some wrong understandings of this verse. Does it mean that love hides a multitude of sins? No. It's not talking about hiding sin, right? Some have taken this to mean, oh, hey, listen, I got your back. I'll keep that from everyone. If you go on sinning, don't worry. I won't tell anybody. Love hides from public view a multitude of sins of other people. That's how we serve each other. No, that is not at all what this means. And that's not something that love would do. If I fell into sin, if you love me, you're going to come and confront me. Right? So love does not hide a multitude of sins. How about this word? Love ignores. We'll just, you know, hey, if you're sinning, that's part of our love. We just accept you for who you are and the way you're living and your lifestyle, and we don't care about any of that. I think that's what the Corinthians were thinking. Remember the church in Corinth where one man had his stepmom? 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And Paul was so appalled that they were allowing this in the church, he said, they don't even have a name for this among the Gentiles. Even to this day, I don't think we have a name. We have like LGBTQ, but what letter's in there if a guy is sleeping with his stepmom? We don't have a letter for that. Paul is saying, this is unacceptable everywhere. But the Corinthians were boasting in that they were so loving they were allowing that to exist. This is not saying that we should keep fervent in our love because love hides each other's sins. And it's not saying that love ignores one another's sins. What is it saying? Well, I'd like you to turn back to Proverbs chapter 10, because Peter here is quoting Solomon's line in Proverbs 10:12. Take a look. Here we'll understand what this has to do with. This does not have to do with how you deal with sin in the moment. Okay? It has to do with how we deal with sin in the long run. Proverbs 10:12 says this. It says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. There's something implied here. What's implied is that we all sin. Okay? We all sin and stumble in many ways. Amen? I mean, we're not happy about that, but it's true. I say things that I shouldn't have said. And sometimes I fail to say what I ought to have said. Or sometimes I do things I shouldn't have done, or I fail to do what I should have done. And we all have that in all of our relationships, in our marriage relationships, in our friendship relationships. We all stumble in many ways, as James says in James 3:2. This is certainly true in the church. As we serve Christ together, we're not always going to say and do the right things. The more you serve, which is a good thing, the more likely it is that you're going to get hurt, which is also a good thing. Right? We should want to share in the sufferings of Jesus Christ. But as we serve Christ together, we're going to stumble. And sadly, at times, we're going to sin and we're going to hurt each other and we're going to get hurt. Quick show of hands, just be honest. How many of you have ever been hurt in the church? All right, look at all those hands. That's just a reality. Praise God you're still here. Right? There are other people who have been hurt in the church and they're gone. They have not kept fervent in their love for the brother. There are people who have been hurt, and they'll tell you the reason they no longer go to church is because they got hurt. That's not right. Right? This command is saying, despite that, hold fast, hold fervent in your love for one another, because love has this great quality that it covers. The good replacement word would be forgives. Right? Love forgives a multitude of sins. And it's talking about how we deal with sin down the road, right? Let's say, I'll make myself the bad guy. I did that all through Sunday school, might as well do it in church. I'm the bad guy, right? Let's say that personally I said something that really hurt you. And sadly, I've done that with people, right? You know, it really hurt when you said such and such. But let's say it was last year, right? Well, years gone by, and of course, I'm hoping that maybe you've forgiven me. If I knew that I did it, I've said, I am so sorry. I didn't mean that. I'm sorry for what I said. Please forgive me. And at the time, you said, well, okay. Now it's a year later. And I say, hey, could you help out with the potluck? And you go, you know, I haven't forgotten. Oop. Stop. That's the opposite of what this is talking about, right? Love, if you love me, you can forgive that. And what I said the year before, and what I failed to do the year before that, and we can get along for years together. That's what this is talking about. So how wise is that? Well, look at, if you're still in Proverbs 10, the opposite, the alternative is hatred. And what does that do? Stirs up strife. Says things like, you know, I'll never forget the time that you... Right? Hatred stirs that up by bringing the matter up again. Remember the gospel, beloved. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Psalm 32:1. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. The gospel is that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, all of your sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven. And even now, today, if you sin against Jesus Christ, he is not writing that down against you. That's hard to believe, but that's the good news. Romans 4, quoting the same verses, blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. Well, you know what 1 Peter 4:8 is saying? How blessed is that church family where the people are loving one another with the love of Jesus Christ, the kind of love that covers a multitude of sins and things less than sins. You know, think about, back to 1 Peter 4:8. Think about how it is that we tend to sin against one another. Usually in the church, it's false accusation, a criticism, gossip, you know, someone judging someone else. Once that sin is dealt with, okay, because this isn't saying don't deal with sin. Once that sin is dealt with, what love does is just moves on and forgets that, and we still serve together, we still love each other. The alternative is hatred, which stirs it up again and brings it up again. There's a proverb that says, he who covers a transgression is seeking love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends. Proverbs 17:9. The alternative to this verse is hatred, which destroys relationships, disrupts unity, douses the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, and really can destroy an entire church. So how wise is it to love one another fervently with a love that covers a multitude of sins? The answer is very. Because when you love like this, you're following the example of Jesus Christ, and when you are loved like this, it's a wonderful life. Which reminds me of that great movie, It's a Wonderful Life. Who knows It's a Wonderful Life? All right, so I want you to think back. George Bailey, his wife was Mary. On their first date, he left her stranded in the bushes. Remember that? On their wedding night, he left her stranded in the taxi cab. Remember that? And then, on Christmas Eve, when his uncle had lost all that money, what did George do? He came home angry. He yelled at Mary. He yelled at the kids. He yelled at Zuzu's teacher on the phone. You remember that? He threw something and he stormed out of the house. What did Mary do? That's a great moment. Every time it happens, even thinking about it, I get teary-eyed. She gets on the phone and calls everyone and says, pray for George. And that's a great story. Holy smokes. She called everyone and she said, George is in trouble. We got to pray for George. Put him on the prayer chain, right? And what happened? They all gathered around. George came to his senses before he took his life, and he came back, and people came donating enough money to pay off what his uncle had lost. That's what love does, beloved. Love, like Mary with George Bailey, like you and your marriage if you've been married for a long time, because you can't have a marriage that survives any other way. Love covers a multitude of sins. Sixth question. We're getting almost done. How practical is this? Very. This relates to every relationship you have, both inside and outside of the church. This is what you need in your marriage. This is what you need in your family. This is what we need in our church family. A love that covers a multitude of unkind words, foolish decisions, broken promises, late arrivals, angry outbursts, heated arguments, and burnt dinners. How practical is it? It's so practical that literally every day of your entire life, you can be applying 1 Peter 4:8 and just loving those who are around you. But most of all, it applies in the church. This is to the church. And it's saying, listen, church, above everything else, maintain, keep, hold on tightly to, and don't let go of fervent love for one another. But it's not easy. The world is against this kind of love. Your own flesh is against this kind of love. And for sure, the devil is against this kind of love. So it's a battle. Final question. Final question. Be careful how you answer. How much longer is loving each other like this going to be so difficult? Not very. Not very much longer. Verse 7 says, the end of all things is at hand. Hebrews 10 says, for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. So listen, until Christ comes, and it's soon, even so come Lord Jesus, Maranatha. Until Christ comes again, keep this in mind. By this all men will know that we are Christ's disciples if we have, if we hold on to love for one another. John 13:35. Beloved, that's my desire for you. I hope that in a month from now, I'm going to be back to preaching and teaching without a nasal twang. I hope that surgery is going to fix me and I'm going to come back. Who remembers the $6 million man? $6 million man? We can make him better, stronger, faster. I'm going to come back as the $6,000 man. I'm sorry, we're on a budget. Better, stronger, faster. But until then, if this were the last sermon I would ever preach, my desire for you as a church family and for all of us and for me too is that we all would hold fervent our love for one another. Because love covers a multitude of sins. And if you're here today and you don't know this love, you know what? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. God loves you. He sent his Son to save you. He doesn't want you to be separated from him. Trust in Christ today if you don't have him. And you will be forgiven of all of your sins forever. And he will give you a heart to love everyone around you. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for this reminder that we ought to love one another. And help us, Father, help us by your word and by your spirit to hold on to a fervent love for one another. Help us to forgive one another as we transgress. We pray it in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.